Northwell.
Okay, where are we at? So I know we have to protect the privacy of the governor's family, but what's it like to work at the governor's mansion? I mean, when you bake at the governor's mansion, are you baking for a family, or is it a very, or do you do official meetings as well, and you have a lot of visitors? You have what's it like?
Yes, I mean, you know, it's a great experience. I mean, it's an honor. I mean, it's a more of an honor than words can ever explain. To have an opportunity to work for the governor, to bake for the governor, or to be in the presence of the governor and his family. And sometimes I really think it's a dream that I would have that opportunity. And I know it's got to be God to open doors like that, you know, put me in that position. If I was still a Muslim, I would have never got to that position. But I know that God used me in a way to be able to place me there to do a service. And for me to be able to be a service to the governor. See, I'm like a servant. And that's a word that I could probably use that would describe me. I'm a servant to the governor, to his needs, his family, his guests. Whenever, every time I have an opportunity to bake and the governor have an opportunity to taste something that I bake and he says good, that's an honor for me.
Yeah. What's your specialty? What do you like to
bake? I was going to say, yeah. What,
what is my specialty?
Yeah, what do you, tell him.
Yes.
About that diamond shape.
Yes, sir. I like that pecan diamond.
Ooh, what's a pecan diamond?
Pecan diamond is not many people got that. That's very rare. Pecan diamond is like it's like a sheet cake. It's not a cake, it's a sheet made in a sheet form. Uh-huh. It's like a pecan pie. But it's totally different, with no eggs and none of that. But it's totally different, made with honey and brown sugar and all that. But it's very, very, very unique. And it cuts in strips, and we cut it in diamonds. Now, we having that Monday night. Now, that is a rarity. We don't make that too often. And key lime pie is another special of mine. I like coconut cream pie, banana cream pie, chocolate pie, tart cake. I have already... come up with many of recipes of my own that I've made of cakes. I have a chocolate cake that is utterly out of this world.
What do you call it?
We just call it Big O's chocolate cake. And we make some great bread. We make all our bread from scratch. We make all our muffins from scratch. We do everything from scratch. And one of our greatest specialties in the morning for breakfast is biscuits.
You do biscuits every day?
No, sir. I only do biscuits on special occasion for the governor's guests when they come. Some of the legislators, I do biscuits, good old country biscuits. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a good biscuit.
It is.
You know, and
it is.
And we do have a good biscuit. Mm-hmm. That's our trademark at the governor's mansion.
Is it a big biscuit or a little biscuit or about medium size?
Well, a medium-sized biscuit.
Uh-huh. Do you cut it out or do you shape it with your hand?
Well, we cut it out.
Yeah.
I don't use a rolling pin, though. I pat it out, then cut it out. You can do it with your hand, but we like to have everything uniform.
Yeah.
You know, when we set something in front of the governor, we want the governor to be proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
We want the governor's guests to be happy. You know, we want the governor and his guests to say, oh, this is great.
Uh-huh.
That's what we thrive for.
What are some of the breads that you like to make?
We make whole wheat. Mm-hmm. I make rye. I make white rolls, like Parker House rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Italian bread. I make all kinds of bread. I've made everything except pumpernickel. I make all kinds of yeast bread, sourdough bread, sour cream cheese bread, any kind of bread. It doesn't make no difference. I can make it. Whatever comes up. I can make any kind of cake. I can make any kind of pie. If it can be made, I can make it. I mean, I have enough confidence in me. And I've never been to a school, but I work with chefs that always have to ask me how to do this and how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And chefs are known for cooking mostly, but you got pastry chefs too.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel very confident that I'm able to bake anything and do anything. And then
getting
the governor's please.
Are there other bakers there as well?
I'm the only one.
You're it.
I'm the man. And I like being the man. You know, I like it. I like it. You know, I like the responsibility. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to be in the limelight.
What's a typical day like? Start in the prison.
Well, in the prison. All right. Early in the morning in the prison, I get up every morning about 4:45 in the morning. Once I get up at 4:45, it's on a regular day. Some days I get up at earlier, but on a regular day, I get up at 4:45 and go through my devotion, and from there I get prepared. And usually we leave the camp on a regular day about 20 minutes after 6. We get to the governor's mansion maybe 6:45. And on a regular day we just start preparing. You know, there's some days we get earlier, but a regular day. Get there.
Will you have had breakfast yourself? Do you eat breakfast before you go out?
No, sir. Usually, sometime I do, very rarely. I may eat at the camp. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, why would you want to eat it?
Yeah.
Why would I want to eat at the camp when I'm going to the...
I think I could wait.
Yeah, I'll wait. And some mornings we have some great breakfasts over there. And there's another thing I want to say. I want to say that we handle a lot of food, but one of the greatest things that I've noticed about Miss Hunt and the governor is that they're concerned about people. They like people. Sometimes we have a lot of food, and she's always interested in giving the food to the homeless people, you know, and sharing with them. You know, she's a very, very conscientious person about that.
So if there's extra after an event.
Oh, yes.
Your breads and pies might end up at the homeless shelter.
Well, my desserts usually don't go.
They don't.
Other things may go, you know.
There are limits to Christian charity.
There are limits to Christian charity. when something is great, you know, people like to take advantage of it. But, they're always concerned about that. They're very concerned. And believe me, a lot of people, some of the people may look at the governor and say this and that, but he has a very difficult day. I mean, all day long, because sometimes I have to have a muffins at this time, that time. This is all day constantly, you know. And he's always very busy. So he has a lot of meetings. And so he's a blessed man to have the energy and enthusiasm to do that. So I wouldn't want no parts of it. But a typical day is a typical day. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of things going on.
You do a breakfast?
Yes, sir. It depends on if the governor's having a guest.
Right.
Anytime he wants a breakfast, he has breakfast. Mm-hmm. Not for himself, but for his guests. Mm-hmm. And he'll be a part of it. So he's mostly concerned about his people that's coming in. Mm-hmm. And we're concerned about that. We're concerned if we can please his guests, we can please his guests, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So that's what we go after.
How long a day do you work over there?
Well, on a regular day, we'll leave there about 4:00 in the afternoon. But now this week, we'll be leaving pretty late. We'll work.
Like supper functions.
Yes, sir. We have functions up. Sometimes we leave 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And anytime we're there, that means the governor's busy. Uh-huh. So he has a busy day. He doesn't have an 8-hour schedule.
Right.
That man has a sometimes 15, 16-hour day schedule.
You say we're there. Who do you mean? You mean that there's other...
Well, we have some other inmates that work, the yard people that work there.
Uh-huh.
And we have some other people that works in that area, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we all go over there together, you know.
Right. Are you the only inmate in the kitchen?
No, we have another person. We have two people in the kitchen. One wash dishes and another one assist the chef. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the chef takes care of the regular meals?
Yes, he takes care of all of the anything pretty well. Responsive. Mm-hmm. We have another person up there that takes care of a lot too, you know, but he's the one that really takes care of that. He's involved with all that.
When did do you have a, I don't know what to call it, just like a philosophy of baking? Is there a spiritual side to this to you, or is it just something that you have, a gift you have, and you run with it? I mean, what?
Well, you know, I'm going to say it this way, is that the greatest satisfaction that I have and the enthusiasm that I get, the energy that I receive, is when I see people satisfied. That is the greatest. But, you know, my philosophy is this. You know, if you can't do it, If you think it's impossible, move aside. Don't get in my way because I know I can do it. You know, that's what I say. You know, if you say that you can't do something, well, good. Just don't get in the way. But I found out that in baking as well as anything else, the more you like something, the more better job you're going to do. If you don't like it, you're not going to do a good job.
And you like baking?
I love baking. I enjoy putting things together and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. I enjoy working with bare necessities. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make no difference. I can improvise. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens. And I enjoy, and I know when something going to come out. I know it. And it doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes, because I do.
But you learn from it.
But the greatest thing about a good baker, it's like a meat cutter, a butcher. Mm-hmm. If he's cutting a very expensive steak and he make a mistake, his best friend is the meat grinder. Change the name of it.
All right.
Call it Ground Chuck. Right. And that's the way I do. Uh-huh. If I make something and it doesn't come out like I really expect for it to come out, I change the name of it.
Take becomes a tort.
No, yeah, but that happens. You know, I mean, you learn from your mistakes, uh-huh. And the things that you do, and that's one of my enjoyments. You know, to be able to bake in my own house. You know, just the little gifts and stuff. You know, for people. You know, mm-hmm. Make birthday cakes and wedding cakes and stuff like that for friends. You know,
that's something that you aspire to.
Yes, I would love to do that. I make cakes now, birthday cakes now. I can do anything like that. But I just like to be able to do it for friends, just in the neighborhood.
Right.
Neighborhood type person, you know. Family members.
Well, we talked about this earlier, but your end date isn't 2028 now, right?
No, I come up for parole this month. The 12th month, 21st date.
And you said that that's not something that you let yourself think about too much, but you must be hard not to think about.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it affects me because the greatest thing I believe for any person is this freedom. I think this country was founded on freedom. And I think that the greatest thing that any man wants is freedom. Now, what type of freedom? Now, I feel that these last 4.5 years that I have been blessed with a freedom that's beyond all freedom. But there's another phase of freedom, and that is the freedom to be able to go out in a free society and to be of a productive citizen. I want to make a contribution to this society. One of the first things I want to do, and I've talked to Brother Minister Tyson, I want to go to Greensboro. If it's not the same day or the day after I get released, I want to meet with the two officers that arrested me. I would like to meet them. Because these men here has been in my heart and my mind for a lot of years, because I hated them. And I've come to a point in my life, man, where now I may want to thank them, you know, because the experience that I've received these last few years is valuable. It's a valuable part of my life. I've been blessed. The people that I meet in my life now is people that I would have never had an opportunity to meet. Never. If this crooked place in my life that I had never taken, I would have never ended up this way. It would have been very easy for me to end up in a graveyard.
Awesome.
But it didn't.
That's right.
So there's a lot of black men like me, mm-hmm. that have steered out in the wrong society, blame society, blame other people for their weakness and shortcomings. Mm-hmm. But some of them never make it to this point. A lot of them make it to the graveyard. And that's a sad thing in society today. There's a ghetto full of black people right now. Just looking to blame somebody. And this society not only just I say black because I'm black, but there's other people in society that are crippled the same way. There's a young, there's in this country, there's a shortage of white males in this country. But black people are suffering more right now because we need a culture background. We need to come to a realization. We need to belong. And that's what's done happening in my life, man. I finally found my place. I found my place, man. I know where I belong at now. And look what's done happened and the type of people that I've run in contact with. I've met some beautiful people. And I'm going to tell you something. And something that I really don't share this with a lot of people. I know for sure, without a doubt in my mind, that God's going to use me to do some great things. I know that. Because I've paid a price. I've been through something. I'll be 53 years old Saturday, December the 12th. I'll be 53 years old. And God has protected me. I'm healthy. And I go places and people say, you don't look 53. I'm happy. For the first time in my life, I'm really, really happy. Not to say that there's many days I'm down and out. As many days I get up, I really feel lousy. There's days I feel I want to be out this prison. Well, that's every day. But I want to be able to go when it's time for me to go. Not when man says time. I want to go beyond that. And Yes, I do. I want to be out of this prison. I mean, like 15 years ago or whatever. I myself feel that I'm ready to go. I need to go now. But there's a lot of things I may want. It may not be what's right for me. And I'm quite sure that there's a lot of men that leave prison, and which I know for a fact, there's a lot of men leave prison that has it all together the way they talk. I mean... They just have it right. They're good salesmen, but they fall. Things happen because they go out there and they got stumbling blocks all around them, and that the society is going to make it. It's going to make it very difficult for you. But I like impossibilities. I like that. See, I like people say it won't work. All I want you to do is just get out of the way.
You can stay a baker?
Well, I don't know. Now, that's something that I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to use that for my livelihood or not. One of the things that my first love, I believe that some men have more than one talent. Mm-hmm. And I believe that a talent is used in certain positions. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But one of the things that I want to do, and I will do, in life is that I want to share my experiences with a lot of young people.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah, I want to travel around.
We're talking about how there's a need for that.
Yes, sir. I want to travel around and I want to share my experiences with a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. They need that. Mm-hmm. Especially young people, I don't care what color or where they come from, a lot of blacks need it. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of young whites today that's mm-hmm. needed mm-hmm. because they're headed the same way. Mm-hmm. From wealthy families, not so wealthy families, bourgeoisie or middle class or whatever. There's a lot of people, even in college. There's a lot of young men today don't have no idea what this side of the world look like. They only see one side.
Right.
And even if they make it to college, they get in school and they do some of the stupidest things in the world. And they can lose it all. But why not if somebody can come along that done experienced all of this and can say, hey, look at this here. Let me tell you what happened to me because I made that mistake. And it's a possibility that you may be able to touch somebody. Somebody may say, wow. Because today's children, they're not interested in listening to nobody that have never experienced it. They want to listen to somebody that's been there. You know, they don't want to listen to me if they want to know something about writing. You know, about journalism, they don't listen to me. I don't experience that. You know, but they want to listen to you.
Maybe.
You know, the experience part of it is great. So, you know, I believe if a man has never made a mess of his life, I don't believe he could have a message. You know, I mean, so I made a mess, but I got a message. I can tell you something, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be a consultant. I would love to be a consultant for the Board of Education for troubled youth. Mm-hmm. You know, just for delinquent kids, none but the delinquent ones. Mm-hmm. I like to work with the ones that society said there'd never be no good. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to work with the trash, as a society may call them. Mm-hmm. I want to work with the inner city, ghetto type people. But yet, I can work with anyone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I want to do. So far as bacon, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That may be a part of my life.
Maybe both.
Yeah, maybe both. Sure. There's
maybe
nothing
one
wrong.
More than the other. But.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with to open up some little bake shops, manna from heaven, bake shops. Mm-hmm. You know, and have young people to come in and be CEOs and executives and operators and managers and distributors, young people. Mm-hmm. Let them be a part of it. Open up offices, buildings, and open up barbershops and open up little places and let young people manage them and work them and keep them from going out selling drugs. Show them a new way because young people live by examples. That's why so many young people today are selling drugs because they see the drug dealer buying new cars. See, young people are getting involved with crime because they see other people doing it. Mm-hmm. Young people will start smoking crack because they see their friends on Friday night having a good time.
Yeah.
And they don't know the consequences of it. Mm-hmm. I received a postcard here recently from New York, and the whole city was beautiful. But he didn't show you the alleyways,
right.
The junkies, the thieves. The city looked great. And that's the way it is with society. You know, they show you a beautiful image, but it's behind the closed doors. And there's so many young. So I want to be a part of that. Maybe bacon will be a part of my life. Probably will be always be a part of it. But so far it's my living. I want to work with young people. I want to share with young people. I want to travel to churches, groups, organizations, different civic leaders. And I want to share my experience with them. And I want to tell them, man, because I think the church today is very busy. Mm-hmm. But not effective.
Yeah,
they're busy. They got everything going.
Right.
But they need you need to grab people that can relate. If you live in a, if you want a Jewish congregation, you need to get you some Jewish people in your congregation. You know,
right.
You got to have everybody should have a, you should have all kinds of people. I think that the church need to have it to be versatile. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to attract everybody. Not just the wealthy, not just the intelligent.
Right.
I mean, we.
To back up a little bit, did you ever find out, or ever hear, once you got to the government mansion, how you came to their attention?
I talked to the chef one day, and the chef told me that they had been looking at me now for a year or so. After I got there, I asked him about that. Mm-hmm. And he told me that, and matter of fact, this same guy, I'm still friends of him now. I communicated on the phone. He's not there. Since I've been there, I've been through different ones. But he said that they had been looking at me for, you know, for a while. Mm-hmm. Obviously, somebody spoke about me or did something. Mm-hmm. Somebody. But I don't ask too many questions.
Right.
I'm just enjoying the ride.
Sure. Was it hard when you first started going to work there to come out and like taste this little bit of freedom, this slightly wider world?
Oh yes, sir.
And then go back, or was that
very hard? It was very hard. Not so far as me trying to escape, but it was very difficult to get used to. Mm-hmm. You know, being behind a fence for so many years. And then go out and live in a, like in a free society. It was very difficult, but you soon adjust to it. Now I'm to the point now where I can't wait to get back to the camp because the reason is that is because I know I got to come back. So why prolong it?
Right.
You see, one time I read a book. Can't remember. It's been many years ago. About a POW in Vietnam, and they was asking him, how did he survive? Mm-hmm. And he told him that that he was saying that how he learned to love pain. Mm-hmm. He survived because they would torture him every day. So every day he would learn to love it. But sometimes, you know, people, they fall in love with things and very difficult for them to fall out of love with it, you know.
Yeah.
But he survived because of that. And we survive because we learn to be flexible. You know, it's called balance. You know, what's more important to a bird? You know, his right wing or his left wing?
Right.
We learn to be balanced. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what we do. In prison.
How much are you around, even around the camp the last few years? Is it just pretty much weekend thing, or do you work?
Yes, sir. Just weekends, mostly. Some weekends I do work, but weekends I'm there.
If there's a special event or yes, something sir. Like that, then you'll go in and
yes, sir.
Bait for the governor.
Yes, sir.
What have you.
Weekends.
Do it. And what was it like? When did you actually first meet the governor? And what was it like? Were you intimidated, or was it?
Well, you know, I see him quite often.
But do you remember, like, the very first time that you...
Yes, I was intimidated. I mean, I didn't know what to say.
Did he come down to the...
Oh, he's always coming through the kitchen, you know. Uh-huh. He just... Because he's meeting in rooms in the area there. But he's always... We pass each other in the hallways. He passed in the mansion. But he's always busy. He doesn't have time to stop and talk to you. He got things to do. But yet... you know, being in the position that I am, yes, it is intimidating, you know. I've had opportunity to speak to him and talk to him, you know, and I've been in the same room with him. He's called me by my name, mm-hmm. you know, and I count that an honor. Mm-hmm. That's an honor, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a blessing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's words can't even describe that, how I feel and how that I'm really dedicated. I'm loyal. Now, if I didn't work there, and if somebody said something about the governor, I said, yeah, he's nothing. He's right. I don't like him. But I worked there with this man, and I get a chance to see a different side of him and his family. You know, I respect this man. I respect his family. And I mean, wholeheartedly. Even after I leave there, I would feel the same way. I respect him. Even if he didn't never do nothing for me, I still respect him. You know, I make a dollar a day. You know, I mean, you know, and I think that's the greatest job in the world.
That's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. You know, so if you're not around something, you're always going to maybe be contradicted of it because you don't know it. But I respect him, his family. I respect him genuinely. You know, I respect they would give me an opportunity to work for the state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've received two or three certificates from the governor, you know, for service, outstanding service. So that's an honor for the state of North Carolina, you know, to serve the governor of North Carolina. Wow.
What kind of advice would you, this can be kind of our transition toward the end here. But,
yes, sir.
But, what kind of advice would you give a young man or young woman, for that matter, who's maybe that's considered 2 points? The who's still on the outside, has never been in prison, but
right.
Having problems, and you know, what kind of advice would you, based on your experience, are you gonna give that person?
Right.
It's a complicated world. You just can't snap your fingers. And
oh, absolutely.
Make everything.
Absolutely.
You know,
but you know.
Just say no doesn't do it.
Yeah. There's two aspects. I could now, as I said, you know, I was raised in Islam. Now I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, from a spiritual point, transpoint, I could say, hey, on the spiritual side. But now, I can't say that. You see, because that's not going to be enough. I need to go all the way back to the very beginning. Number one, if you got a young man out there and that there's symptoms of a disease. See, before a disease really hits you hard, there's symptoms that a doctor can look for. And there's symptoms in a young man's life is when he hate to stay home, when he find comfort out in the streets dealing with people that may not be of good, can give him good sound advice. That he want to hang around with undesirables. These are symptoms for him that he's becoming exactly the same as theirs. And eventually, that's going to overtake him and that he's going to become more corrupted than they are. That's what happened to me. Now, my advice, especially to parents, let's go back to the parent, and especially among Christian people, one of the things that you, if you take a survey, you'll find out there's a lot of Christian people, their children is rebellious. Because they, Jesus.
Sure. Yeah.
That's nothing. That's the most beautiful name in the world of me. Mm-hmm. And but I believe that I think parents ought to handle their children a different way. Number one. Parents always, and in a lot of cases, is always telling their children, especially this day and time. See, years ago it was different. Mm-hmm. Today's children, man, they got so many avenues. They got the TV is corrupted. You want to get rid of a child, put him in, turn TV on, leave him there.
It sure is.
And you don't know what he watched. Now they got internet. You got computers.
Yeah.
Kids get on the internet, man. They travel all over the world. You got all kind of sex things going on. You got all this. You got this. You got all kind of mess going on. Plus, you got seductive clothes. Mm. You got young girls today dressing like whores. Mm. Young girls today. And that's a shame. You got young girls today that don't even wear dresses no more. Mm. You got young girls today don't even wear nice shoes no more. They wear combat boots. Mm-hmm. You got young girls that they dress like boys. Mm-hmm. And the boys dress like hooligans with the pants hanging down to the knees.
Very cool.
And very cool. And listen, but this is your future.
Right.
So these are what we call kids that are rebellious. Now, how many parents always point out to the child that what they're doing wrong? Most all of them. Mm-hmm. How many parents go to the child and say, John, let me talk to you for a minute. You know, get you in the living room, set it. John, let me sit down and talk to you for a minute. Now, this is the problem, Johnny. Today I screwed up. I screwed up big time today. Mm-hmm. I did wrong. Now, I feel that I can talk to you. I feel if anybody else can, I feel you the one that I can come to and console myself. This is the situation. I screwed up, man. I made a mistake.
I agree with you 100%, and it's very rare.
Rare. Very rare. Now, you tell a child, you'll make that child feel more comfortable with you. Mm-hmm. He'll say, well, if daddy make a mistake, I mean, he's human, and I make mistakes. So when he get ready, when he makes a big time mistake, the avenue, the door's gonna be open for him to go say, "Dad, say I screwed up too."
Right.
Right. Instead of you chastising him, give him some good advice. Say, "Son, don't worry about it. We gonna handle this together.
Right.
Just between me and you, me and you." Mm-hmm. Give the child a bond. But if you every time you see the child, you're convicting him of what he's doing. When a child is a little bit of child. You say, oh, Johnny, that if he knocked the lamp over and break the lamp, oh, it's all right. But just as soon as he get up, get older, where he can really understand, and when he do something wrong, if he stay out too late at night, you jump all over the kid.
Right.
But sometimes you got to leave the door open. Mm-hmm. You got to sit down and say, listen, Johnny, listen. Now, you know how your mom is now. She's concerned about you. You know, just kind of curve it a little bit. Now, you having a problem, you know, just see me. I mean, let's work this thing out. You have to establish a relationship, man, for a child to be open. And I think what happened today is a lot of children today don't even have a communication with the family. Don't have a communication with the father because, number one, he works all the time. Don't have a communication with the mother because she don't understand him now. Mm-hmm. Because you send the child off to a school and he's involved with all type of crazy people.
Right.
He see all kind of crazy things.
Okay.
And he has to be able to, and you cannot save this child with telling him about Jesus. You got to show him love and kindness. You got to teach him right from wrong. Mm-hmm. You got to let him know that if you make a mistake, you can always come to me, and I'm not going to jump on you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to love you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to understand. I'm going to care for you. And I think that that is one of the biggest mistakes. Now, in the lower class of neighborhoods, The biggest problem is there's not a family in the community. It's not a family in the house. There's not a man in the house, basically, you know. And for instance, for you, you can lose your legs, you can lose your arms, you can lose your eyes, you can lose your hair. And some people have lost a heart and got another heart. But if you lose your head, you're dead. If the man leaves the home, which he's the head of his home, the family dies. There's no stability there. There's no balance. The woman cannot do it. Thank God for women. But the woman cannot raise children by herself. It's cases that it happens.
Sure.
But a child needs a male figure in his home. And that is exactly what's missing today in a lot of families. The divorce rates are alarming, especially among Christians. It's rising. And that's what's happening. And the kids always suffer for it. And the kids in these colleges, they send kids off to colleges. Most of these colleges was Christian-orientated colleges. But you know what happens between that, you know. They get a chance to experience a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean your poor daughter, she's a lamb among wolves. You know, she just corrupted. Some kids survive it,
right.
Some don't. Some are just worse. But I think that the whole thing is that, oh my God, I can't go home and tell my mother, she'll kill me. I tell my father, he'll kill me. You know, but how about if a child get to the point in his life and understand, I know I can tell my father, and he'll understand.
That. I think that's a very wise answer. Let me ask it the same question a little differently. What do you tell the young man who has made that mistake? You know, kind of like maybe like you did.
Right.
Who's already in prison. Maybe not for two life sentences, but
right.
There he is at
right.
Raleigh Wake Forest Correctional. What do they call the place you're at? The
Wake Correctional.
Wake Correctional, or younger in juvenile,
right?
Or something like that.
Right.
Mistakes have been made. Certain things obviously weren't there to help them out. But there he is. What kind of advice do you give that young person?
Right. Well, there's two aspects. You know, if a child is a juvenile and he goes to a juvenile place, it's very difficult for a young juvenile to associate themselves with reputable people, because usually juveniles run with juveniles. But I believe that it's bad for a man to go to jail or go to prison. But I think it's worse for him, it's a disgrace for him to leave the way he came. And I think that's what prison is for. I think prison is not rehabilitation. Because the word rehabilitation means to return you back to your former condition. But you was a thief when you went in there, a murderer when you went in there. So,
right,
I mean,
right.
You know. But the idea of it is that you learn something from your mistakes. Because Thomas Edison made 3,000 mistakes before he discovered electricity or the bulb or whatever, you know.
Right.
You make mistakes on what you do. Babe Ruth struck out 3,500 times almost, you know,
right.
Before he became the home run king, you know, at a time. So making mistakes over is good. Making mistakes is just what you learn from that mistake. That's what's important. And the problem with it is that I believe truly that the worst thing you can do today is to take a juvenile and throw him in prison. Because juveniles is worse than adult camps. They rape them boys. They steal from them. They take from them. How many kids got a heart? You got big kids in prison.
Yeah.
Some of those juveniles. And they just misuse them, guys. And you take them young boys, they stay in there for a while, and they come out worse. And see, what this side they're doing is creating what they call a Frankenstein.
Yeah.
They're creating a monster. But what happened to Frankenstein? They lost control of it.
Yeah.
See, in the prison system, you're not helping a man by taking a young boy and throwing him in prison. There's a lot of men that need to be in prison. There's a lot of men that need to never get out of prison. But there's a lot of young boys don't need to go to prison. I think that should be an alternative. I think that what the state need to do, the state needed to evaluate why take a kid that done murdered 3 people and put him in there with a kid that done stole a bicycle.
Right.
Why do that? Why take a man that's 70, 80 years old and put him in a prison with a young boy that's 25 years old and 26 years old? Because they're going to rob him. They're going to take everything he got. So I think that that's what we need to look at.
What about the young man who's in his 20s or 30s? And do you think that, I mean, as you've experienced, a prisoner looking to provide, and how hard is it for somebody like that to, is the prison going to provide an environment where they can do more than return to society as they came? I mean, is it, I mean, a place like Caledonia,
right?
Or, I mean, is that really going to?
Those places are not going to provide anything to produce a productive person to go back into society. They're not going to do it. They're not geared up for that. They're geared up for punishment. They're not geared up for teaching you something to go back on. The prison system and what they need to do, they need, a man should never progress in the system unless he get an education, unless he get at least a GED. If he come to prison without a GED, that should be mandatory. Before you go anywhere, get your GED. Learn something and have something productive. Find out what a man like, because every man likes something. Mm-hmm. You find out what a man likes, and then what his gifts is, what his interests are. Mm-hmm. Then you steer him in that direction, because you can't make a man if he's a, if he's a guy that like to draw, you can't make him carry bricks.
Right.
All right, have an art school. Mm-hmm. Teach men to do that, and teach men to go back in society to have a productive trade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, men have to be able to talk that way, but I can't say nothing bad about the prison system because I've been blessed by it. You know, I thank God many days that I was in prison, that I went to prison. I thank God for a lot of the officers that I run into, a lot of things that happened to me. I thank God for that. Now, that may sound crazy to a lot of people, but, I mean, it's been a beneficiary to me. Why? Because I've looked for something. It took me a lot of years. It took me 15 years to come to a point in my life where I say, hey, I want something better.
Also took you having certain strengths that a lot of people don't have.
Right. Well, I agree with that. And but everybody's not going to be treated the way I be treated. We're going to look for what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And I can understand there's a lot of men in prison that go through a lot of changes. I can understand that. I can understand men in prison more than I can understand any other people, because I live with them. I've learned people. I know how to deal with people. All aspect of people. I get up every morning and I have to deal with all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. I know I got to find out what a person like, what they dislike, or whatever. But I think that you can't make a man change. A man has to change on himself. You can present him with the opportunity. And I think the greatest blessing in prison today is churches. These Christian people that come in and share love. Especially this time of year, you got a lot of churches come in. They'll bring little apples and oranges and stuff. That's a blessing. Mm-hmm. And people respect them, you know. And there's a lot of guys on the yard. We have a man on our yard that comes in every Saturday. He's a blind guy. He's like 80% blind. Mm-hmm. And he walks around on the camp. He has his wallet and he sits everywhere. And when he gets close up on you, he can, kind of see.
Uh-huh.
But he moves around, and everybody on the camp respects him. Nobody would touch him. Mm-hmm. Nobody would touch this man. Mm-hmm. Somebody could just walk up to him and grab his wallet, and he'll never know what it was. Mm-hmm. But they won't do that. Mm-hmm. Those men respect him because they see him every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And he always interested in helping somebody. Mm-hmm. And if somebody do take something from him, he probably couldn't stay there, because those guys are just... Ray's saying about it. So you do have some good men. I've met some of the finest men in my life in prison. I met some fine men. I met some sobers one too. Now, I mean, you know, I've met, you know,
I'm sure.
There's always two sides to the coin. Not to call anybody specifically sorry, but I've met some fine men. And I've met some fine officers. But there's always two sides to the coin too. Mm-hmm. But those people are only doing their job. I mean, I can't blame them. At one time, I did blame them. Mm-hmm. But they're doing their job, you know, whatever. So, You know, it's up to the individual. What he's seeking for, what he want. You can't make a man do nothing there. If he wants to change, he'll get it. I've seen many men leave prison and say, I got it. But you know what I always say in my heart? I ain't got it. I ain't got it. And I have more men, and God has blessed me with this here. I have so many men always get word back to me. I had a man sent word the other day, said, I want you to tell Otis that I know he heard a lot of things about me, but tell him I'm doing good now. Men do that. Men send word back to me.
That's great.
Men, I mean, that's an honor. I don't care where I go. I meet somebody.
Yeah, they remember your bacon, too.
Yes.
Remember those biscuits.
Yes. I mean, men that have been in prison, men have not been in prison. Mm-hmm. Like that gentleman we seen over to the restaurant there.
Uh-huh.
Now, he was shocked.
Yeah, he was. It took him a lot of gas.
Yeah. Man, he was shocked to see me.
Yeah.
He said, wow, you know.
Right.
Now, he been wanting to come to the prison and take me out.
Uh-huh.
He wants to get a card. You know,
great.
Yeah, he wants to take me out, and he been saying, oh, "I want to do it." You know, he said, "I got a beach house down to the beach. I want to take you down to the beach," you know, and stuff like that. Now he was shocked.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, this guy, you know.
I could tell he was a little disoriented.
Yeah, he was really tripped. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But that goes to show you that I've had.